thinking, wouldn't it be nice to go over and have lunch with Janaki? And then somehow this became a big party. I was just thinking about three, but what it looks like is that this may be one of the last times that we can actually get together so easily, because some of you may be going to different parts of the world. And well, we'll have to see what the next year holds. It's always that way. We never know what the future holds. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, forget the past that sleeps, ne'er in the future dwell at all, but live with times that are with thee, and progress ye shall call. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very poetic. He wrote more than 100 books in Bengali and English. He wrote a lot of poetry and songs. Actually, when a devotee becomes self-realized, he automatically is inclined to write or compose poetry, or sometimes even before he's self-realized, but authorized Vaishnava poetry is composed by self-realized devotees. And we don't know what the future holds for us. And it was difficult to practice Krishna consciousness in the early years because we were extremely odd looking to the public in the Western world. They had never heard of, most people didn't know much about India at all, especially in the 60s. They didn't know about Indian culture and didn't know much about Hinduism. Maybe some people had read something in school or in college, but nobody had ever seen really Hindu monks. Those Buddhist monks were more well known. But anyway, when we would go out on the street and chant, that was something to stop and look twice at. People would, we were a novelty. And the chanting also, we were young and we were very zealous. We were very determined. And we were just going to save the world, and everybody had to stop and get saved. So we were prepared to do all kinds of things which, if we were older and more mature, we would have done in a more rational way. But still, our youthful exuberance, our youthful enthusiasm, it was an engine that spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, spread Srila Prabhupada's teachings. He was an old man, he was 70 years old, and for him to spread Krishna consciousness was rather an impossible task alone. So he was very grateful to his young American and European followers for helping him. But at the same time, we were united. So there was a very strong fraternity there. We had Prabhupada, and we would get into problems, we would have fights sometimes, there would be difficulties, but when Prabhupada came, everything was just okay. You know, all the problems seemed to get solved. Just based on his purity, we had so much faith and conviction based on purely his character, his stature, Everything about him was perfect. He was a scholar, he was a gentleman, he was humble, he was Indian, he was old, he was beyond doubt, or there was no question of him making a mistake or falling down or whatever. So it was easy for us. It was difficult, and yet it was easy also. We had a lot of incentive. And also, the hippie movement kind of adopted us as the counterculture religion. We were the in thing, because we distributed lots of prasadam and we chanted. They loved that, the chanting. Not that they were serious about it, but it was the hip thing to do. Tune on, turn in, and drop out. Tune in, turn on, yeah, and drop out. Turn out, no? Okay, I think I got it right. So, now, times are changing. And although Krishna consciousness is more respectable now, people know more about us, we have so much material facility in comparison to what we had then. We didn't have cars or nice vans, or everything was, you know, we had buses, but they were 25-year-old buses, and we had cars, but, you know, we didn't know whether they would work from day to day, and we had places to stay, but, you know, there was no bunk beds. Everybody was just in one big room and sleeping on the floor. So you've got a lot of advantages, but there are difficult things now that may even be more difficult than in those days, because now there are a lot of problems that we're dealing with. Social problems, philosophical problems, trying to sort out our philosophy on the basis of scripture, and different people are putting forward different arguments, and we have to be very clear-headed. Struggling with a lot of issues, and devotees have to remain steady and be patient and try to remain united while we pass through these difficult times. I'm sitting here accepting, you know, worship. As far as I know, from the best of my knowledge, this is the parampara system. I don't feel right about it, but it's a service that I think is the right thing to do. So I have to do that. But we may have to adjust things as we discuss, as we make changes, as we try to get better and better at what we're doing. We have to adjust things according to time and place and circumstance. So, again, all of you have to remain steady and cool-headed, and no one should ever become bitter. No one should ever become, no one should ever develop any feelings of betrayal, because we're all going through this together, and making mistakes is part of becoming better. If you were perfect right from the beginning, then you wouldn't be here in this material world. So I hope that everybody is able to advance in your Krishna consciousness. I really would like to see you develop the feelings of conviction, and I'd like to see you all be able to chant Hare Krishna at any time, in any place, with any group of devotees, and enjoy chanting Hare Krishna. We, on the one hand, we have protocol where we play different roles, but on the other hand, it's really all just about chanting Hare Krishna. I'm enjoying chanting Hare Krishna and doing a little service to Krishna. And that's the real taste is there. And so we should always be able to walk into any temple where there are pure devotees chanting and sit down somewhere in the back so that no one knows you came and just chant Hare Krishna and enjoy chanting. Now that's the real luxury. Sometimes we get caught in jobs. I know in Bombay it was such a big project to manage, and we'd have 24-hour kirtan going on in the temple. Best. Radanga, kartal, harmonium players, singers, very sweet, nice loudspeaker system in the big temple, and we would be up in our offices managing, and this kirtan would be going on, and I would be thinking, boy, this is really austerity. So sometimes I would just get fed up and I would drop everything and I would just go down in the temple and sit with those 3-4 devotees, 5 devotees, and just try to get lost in kirtan. So always remember that that's really what we're all about, is chanting and dancing and feasting. And everything else is important, but if you ever get frustrated or if you get discouraged or you ever have any problem, just find some devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna, sit down and chant with them, and you know, all your troubles and worries will go away. And then you get more strength to get up and carry on. Okay, Prasadam. Mahaprasadi Govinde,
Mahaprasadi Govinde,
Nama Brahmani Vaishnave,
Nama Brahmani Vaishnave,
Sopa Punyavatam Rajam,
Sopa Punyavatam Rajam,
Vishvasana Rajayate,
Vishvasana Rajayate,
Sarira Vidyaja,
Sarira Vidyaja,
Jarendriya Tahika,
Jarendriya Tahika,
Jivasale Vishayasagare,
Jivasale Vishayasagare,
Aramade Jivayati,
Aramade Jivayati,
Lobamaya Sadurmati,
Lobamaya Sadurmati,
Kakijata Katina Sansare,
Kakijata Katina Sansare,
Krishna Bodhalaya Moha,
Krishna Bodhalaya Moha,
Parivare Jivajaya,
Parivare Jivajaya,
Vaprasada Nadilobai,
Vaprasada Nadilobai,
Hare Krishna Gunagam,
Hare Krishna Gunagam,
Premedako Chaitanya
Nitai, Premedako Chaitanya Nitai,
Jai Mahaprasad Ki
Jai.
Right now I'd like to have a little van traveling home, motor home, and few devotees, and maybe we'll certainly travel and preach. I like preaching. I like talking to groups of people. And if I get a chance to meet some people who have some money, then I'll try and get that money from them for my work. Engage them in devotional service. We're going to try just to do something in America.
it's a period, it's a difficult period for me in the sense that before in the past, whenever I wanted to do something, I always had great strength. I've never had any difficulty for enthusiasm. And I never had any, you know, nothing could stop me from doing what I wanted to do. Now, you know, I have this health problem, so it slows me down. It's a botheration. So it may take a few more years to overcome that problem. But it's also giving me a chance to engage others, which is good. I want to do this because I think it's very important. I think devotees want to have people that they can associate with who are committed to the basic standards of Krishna consciousness, who just do everything every day, get up and follow the morning program and stress the regulative principles. May not be very flashy or, you know, whatever, but sometimes, I mean, we've seen a lot of very big charismatic people, and that's nice, but we've also seen some difficulties. So I think in the long run, people want to see even just a few sadhus. So we'll try and do that. And like I said, if I can accomplish other things also, we'll do that, but my main ambition is just spend time with devotees and share ideas and preach. And if I can do that if I can get some kind of, traveling by plane is too difficult, so if I can get some way I can travel in America, then maybe get some way I can travel in Europe. I can do both. Maybe spend 5 months, 4 or 5 months in America, maybe 3 or 4 months in Europe, maybe somewhere or other I'm here. So maybe I can spend 3 or 4 months in Yugoslavia. If things work out, maybe a little time in India. But it's kind of a period for me where I'm not sure. So, you know, people ask me, what are you going to do? And I guess you could say it's a midlife crisis. Let's see. I'm confident that Krishna will give me some indication. What do you want me to do? I'm your servant. What do you think I should do?
Thank you.
I don't know. Like I said before, it's a difficult period. And the whole institution is going through soul searching. We just have to, you know, I remember when it was so funny. anyway, when we were hippies, one thing we used to do sometimes was a big group of people would get together and hold hands in a big circle and try to feel the vibration flowing through. Sometimes we would chant, Om. Well, I really believe that our individual spiritual lives are highly influenced by our collective spiritual lives. None of us is that strong that we can walk off into the sunset or ride off into the sunset like the cowboy on his white horse. And, you know, we need each other's help. So it's difficult because you're all connected. Well, you're not actually. Most of your household is, but you know, you're connected with temples and a spiritual master, or even a sannyasi, is not supposed to tell people what to do. That's the responsibility of the GBC, or more specifically, the temple president. That's the way our system of management is supposed to run. And like I said, I don't think anybody in ISKCON has all the ideas. We've had experience, but we're going through a period right now which is so heavy that it's pushing us to the limit to define our purposes, define our methods, define our goal. And one of them is the role of the spiritual master and the disciple. That's one of the issues being discussed. And, you know, I could say, well, you know, you're my disciples and I want to do this for Krishna, so it's your duty to help me do that. Drop everything and, you know. obviously that's not, that wouldn't work. We couldn't have any temples if every spiritual master started manipulating the lives of their disciples. But at the same time, how am I going to do whatever I want to do without manpower and funds? I'm actually fairly confident that I can make a significant contribution to the whole society by just being a strong, enthusiastic, scholarly creature. But, you know, so I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. I don't know. I have my, as Prabhupada used to say, I have my plans and Krishna has his plans. Where we're going to New York, they're trying to move from a very low class neighborhood to an Indian neighborhood where they have a beautiful new building, and they'll sell their old building and buy this new building. They're about $1 million short, so they want us to help them collect for that. So we'll see. That'll give us a foundation in America. And from there, if these guys get it together, then maybe we'll be able to, like I say, I have maybe something like a down payment on a vehicle or so. If we can get financing, then we'll get started there. If that doesn't work out, then there's the whole of Canada. We have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 temples, and hardly anybody preaches there. And I'm the most well-known Canadian. I could go there. I'm sure they would help in some way. Or, you know,
was always Bombay, or Delhi for that matter, or Bangalore for that matter. In fact, there's so many temples that give me service, but those are, you know, those are things, but I'd rather work with all of you. I don't know. But you're all going away, so.
Mm. It's the feeling now.
Huh?
It's the feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, 4.
5, 6.
Yeah. It's much harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I sense things.
Yeah.
What place would you have, in example, if I say, we said that we would like to work with all of us? Are you saying, where am I, or maybe she, or I don't
know? Well, you're doing something very important, working on Prabhupada's books. I get a portion of the credit for that, so, the punya. So, you know, and it's hard to say what's going to happen in the future. You know, you're going to coarseness. You'll be there ostensibly for 6 months, but who knows, maybe longer. Well, what you should do is just gain some influence there, and then you can coordinate. I travel in Scandinavia at least once a year. So you and Tungavidya can work something out, so they arrange a little tour for me in Scandinavia. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good if we all keep in touch with each other. Keep on writing and let me know how you're doing. I really like to think that I'm being of some use to somebody. That gives me satisfaction. So, if there's any little way that I can help you in your spiritual lives, or with any problem you have, then, you know, I feel useful. Srila Prabhupada was an enthusiastic devotee doing his devotional service, and he wasn't a very prominent man in the Gaudiya Mutt. He was a householder. And there were so many sannyasis and even scholars. Bhaktisiddhanta had big professors who were his disciples. So, you know, nobody thought that Prabhupada would be the person who would do some great service. That's one of the reasons why we should always be very, very careful in dealing with Vaishnavas, because we never know when we may be so advanced now and they may be junior, but tomorrow Krishna may push them ahead and they may be very doing some wonderful service. But we can do our best to do our service wherever we are, and we can do our service wherever we are, and if Krishna gives us an opportunity to do something wonderful, we should be ready to do that. And if the occasion doesn't arise, then we should just be happy. You know, there's nothing so serious in life except for Krishna consciousness. Everything else is just really kind of silly. You just can't explain the way things are, why they are. And you go to another part of the world and you find people have a totally different attitude. People in China, you know, they like to eat cockroaches. And they think that, you know, we're just too silly. We're, you know, what's the matter? They're delicious and healthy. And, you know, in France they eat chocolate-coated ants. Ants, and they put chocolate on them. It's a delicacy. So you go all over the universe, you know, and things are just different. People have different bodies, different ways. what is the right way? What's the perfect way to, you know, eat pickles? I don't know. Everything else, the only thing that is any value is Krishna consciousness. So do whatever you do according to the way it's supposed to be done, wherever you are. But be serious about your Krishna consciousness. And if Krishna gives you a chance to offer people an opportunity to go back to Godhead, if Krishna gives you a chance to bring people to Krishna's lotus feet, if Krishna gives you a chance to be an important person for Krishna, take the chance, take the opportunity. And if he doesn't, be part of a team of devotees doing something significant. Prabhupada, Krishna gave Prabhupada a chance, you know. It just, he didn't know that the 70-year-old man, he just got on it, but there's no indication that he would be successful at all. Krishna's plan, Prabhupada had his humble plan. He thought he was going to die going to America. Sumati Maharaji told him, Swamiji, you'll just go there and die. Everybody told him. And Prabhupada thought, well, let me die trying. Yeah? Like magic. So, I don't know. We do things for, we're motivated sometimes in things that we do. Personally motivated. We want prestige. One devotee once asked me, he said that he was thinking of taking initiation from, or he was thinking of that while he approached me also. So he was a little confused, and he thought that maybe it was a better idea to take initiation from someone who's very famous, and that way you know, you get some prestige yourself. So, you know, I told him that our consideration should not be what material benefit we get, but anyway, that the real thing is that what our consideration should be is another thing, but one of the things it shouldn't be is some material motivation. We should do spiritual things for spiritual reason. You want to know what happened to him? Okay, I think time is running away. So, except for a few more days, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'll try and come back before I go to America, but I have to see. I'm going to India now for maybe a month or so just to see a doctor there, my doctor. And then we'll see. We'll head out to America in the winter. I don't know, it's the worst time to go to America. Worst time to go to New York. Bring warm clothes.
What
the it's not that bad. Maybe it gets down to, I don't know, zero or something.
Zero is no problem.
Yeah, zero is no problem.
Zero is here also.
Maybe it goes a little lower or something. It goes down to maybe, the worst goes down to maybe 20, 25 degrees Fahrenheit.
And in temple, of course.
They have heating.
Maybe you could come to Kirk and have one more.
Kirk, that was... That's the purpose that I went there for. I wasn't achieved. Didn't have much rest. I don't need it. Sometimes. Even when I'm sick, I'm stronger than most people. So. Let's see, it's going to be an interesting year, 1999. It'll be one of the most interesting years in centuries. It's the worst astronomical configuration of planets in a long, long time. Well, 1999-2000, and, you know, it's interesting, it's a nice quote from a story Prabhupada was telling about when he was young, a young boy, 5 or 6 years old, so that would have been around the turn of the century, because he was born in 1896. So, oh, that was the last turn of the last century, anyway. The British, somehow or other, in order to involve the Indians in their army, they created an artificial famine. In other words, they took control of the food supply and then raised the price of rice from about, I don't know, $3 a mound. Anyway, it's something, $3 for some unit. Not a kilo, obviously. I think maybe a mound. $3, it went from $3 to $15. And, you know, just for people to pay that much difference, it created havoc. And there were shortages everywhere. Disaster, and people were dying from the famine. It was literally a famine. And Prabhupada said, actually it was just before the First World War, I guess Prabhupada was a little older. Yeah. Oh, wait a second. Let me get my facts straight here. The timing. Maybe it was just before the Second World War. It was just before the Second World War, in the 30s, because Prabhupada, at that time, he contacted Vrindavan, he contacted different Vaishnava communities, and everywhere he contacted, the devotees were all saying, no, we have enough, there's no famine here, no, we're doing okay. Although Prabhupada saw literally in the streets of Calcutta, other cities, people were dying, but Krishna was somewhere or other taking care of the devotees. So, even though, you know, there's a conference on Calm right now called Apocalypse 1999. Devotees are talking about the end of the world, which is a little fanatic. What they're saying is that because of many different things, but especially the computer failure in the year 2000, all the world's computers will have great difficulties because of a bug in the software, and that'll cause disaster in transportation, which is based on computerization, banking, which is based on computerization, communications, which is based on communication. All these things will collapse, and it'll cause havoc. That's what they're saying. But I kind of believe that Krishna will take care of us. I don't want to be naive. If we have communities, a farm community, that's great. I mean, for all of you, I guess you could go to New Brajadam. Somehow or other, you haven't been able to get anything together in Yugoslavia. I don't know why. But anyway, on the one hand, Prabhupada talks about a time will come when people will be so harassed that they will run from the cities in great distress, and they will have no food and this and that. He talks about such a thing. But on the other hand, he says that for the devotees there will never be any problem. So I kind of, you know, what it comes down to is, if you believe in Krishna, then you have to believe in Krishna fully, half believing in Krishna or half faith. You're neither here nor there. And what is the use in that? If you're going to have any faith in Krishna, might as well have full faith in Krishna. And if Krishna is the supreme controller, if Krishna is the supreme supplier, then it would seem like if you devote your life to him, he'll take care of you. Now that doesn't mean that we have to be stupid or foolish, but certainly our most important activity is preaching Krishna consciousness. That is Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya is a preacher, and he instructed all of his followers to preach. So if we do that, yoga kshema vahamyaham. You know, the story of the Brahmin who saw that verse and said, Krishna will carry what you lack. And he thought, that couldn't be right. God's not personally going to come and carry what I lack. So he scratched it out. And then his wife told him that she saw a boy come to their house carrying what she needed for the big pizza feast that they had. And his face was all scratched up. And she asked him, what happened to your face? And he said, your husband did this to me. So, I don't know. I've never seen any devotees ever have any real trouble anywhere in the world. There have been opulent times and there's been times when there's struggle, but nobody's ever died of hunger or died because they didn't have a place to sleep, or nobody's never had cloth to wear or some work to do. So I don't see how the future is going to be any different. Krishna is still the supreme controller in the future. No.